Hello, 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 ladies. This month we are focusing in on key number 8, create your circle of support. In quotation marks, or i.e. or aka relationships. Relationships with others, and also really having to do with relationship with ourselves again. You know that everything ties back to self-love and acceptance. Unfortunately. You guys are all like, oh my God, can we stop talking about this? Can I just have it already? Yeah, it's a work in progress, ladies. It just is. You know, when I get there fully, I'll let you know how it feels. So I am super excited about this topic. As always, every topic is, I really do believe every topic is equally important. It's like a piece of the pie that creates our healthy, vibrant body, lifestyle, and the passionate life we are here to live. And we know that relationships are a big part of that. So just going to give you my little lead into that. So as I already said, this really is a biggie, and it has everything to do with the 3 P's. So you know what that means. People-pleasing, perfectionism, and pretending to be superwoman is really tied into relationships. So we often think that if we don't say yes to everything that others ask of us, that we won't be loved and accepted. So the truth is that we all need positive support. We all need to give and receive support. And really need to become good at being comfortable with asking, expressing, and putting our own needs, desires, and happiness first. I know that your little ego is saying, oh my God, that is selfish. And you know what? Yes, it is. And thank God. There's nothing wrong with being selfish, ladies. Nothing. Nothing at all. So this means seeking people who will provide us positive support. And I'm going to get into a group of people. I'm going to list all the people that includes. It actually includes a lot of people. And it also means setting and keeping healthy boundaries with ourselves and others. So, as I said, this is a big month. It's important to remember, as I say this every single month, every single class, that this whole thing is a process, a journey. We've been working together for 8 months at least, some of us more. You've seen progress. And that's all we're looking for, you guys, is forward movement, progress. In order, not progress for progress' sake, not for achievement, not to prove ourselves, but to actually have everything we desire in our lives, to feel energetic, vibrant, healthy, so that we can do the activities that we want to do, feel good in our bodies, so that we can feel happy on a daily basis, at peace, live our purpose, whatever that might be, and have a passionate life, meaning doing all the things we love with people we love. So, it is a process, and practice, 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 okay? Even for me, I'm not some guru on a pedestal. I still fall off the wagon. I still have my days. I still fall into old patterns. And the only thing that separates me from other people is that I have the tools, the awareness, the knowledge, the support. I myself have lots of support to move out of it. And that's where we are very much alike. We're in the same boat. I'm sharing everything with you that I know. So let's first go into the importance of support, of supportive relationships. So number one, you guys, we all need support, and we need a lot of it to make changes in our life, to grow, to be healthy, to heal mentally, physically, emotionally. We all need support, and support for play too and fun. Like, so it's not just support like, oh my God, like, because I have a problem. It's like, no, let's go have fun together, right? So, I just want to express like how important that is to go and have that support for, yes, when we have our down days, but also to go and have fun and play, right? It's really important. So when we don't have the support that we need, our circle of support, it can hold us back in every area of our life. It can create actually illness. We can get sick mentally, physically, and emotionally if we don't have the support that we need. It can impact our relationships, of course. It can impact our work and our purpose, us living our purpose, our money, our finances, and it can block us, as I said before, from feeling and having happiness and joy, like true happiness and joy. Because as much as we need alone time, and of course that's a part of our relationship, right, is our relationship with ourselves and having enough alone time. But we also need that connection, the support and connection with other people. We are not meant to live this life alone. We are meant to not only have support from others, but give support. And I'm going to get into that a little more, that give and receive, right? That give and receive flow. Some of us are really good at giving, and we're not so good at receiving. And that's a problem, okay? For a lot of reasons. We're going to get into that. So that's why it's really important to have connection and support. You know, infants, I'm sure you guys have heard about the research done with the monkeys and the failure to thrive. I forgot who did it. But they showed that, you know, baby monkeys that did not get love and support as infants within a certain amount of time had failure to thrive and got sick, and some of them even died. So we will fail to thrive if we do not have the connection and support we need, okay? And all of us need it different. So we can't even compare what other people need to what we need when it comes to that. Again, it comes back to knowing ourselves and trusting ourselves and really getting down to what our needs are, not somebody else's needs. And that's true when it comes to relationships. So let's move into identifying your circle of support. So who is that circle? Who makes up the circle? And I put your circle or tribe members, so whatever you want to call it, right? I like to call it a circle of support. I also like tribe a little bit, but tribe can seem a little, I don't know. Circle seems a little more gentle. So people like tribe. So these are the people that could make up your circle of support. Family, friends, coworkers, clients, if you own your own business, or you have clients in your business, right? Healers or your healthcare team, whether it be mental, physical, or emotional, right? Your counselor, your doctor, your naturopath, your acupuncturist, your massage therapist, your Reiki master. You know who I'm talking about. Your coaches, like me, I'm one of your circle of support. Also, again, your relationship with yourself, draw yourself in there, and also your relationship with your higher levels, whoever you call, you know, whatever you call it. So it's nice to even draw like a little image, like a bunch of little circles, and put the name of each piece in that circle of support as a reminder. Right? So I'm going to have you guys do kind of like a little art project. If you want it to be an art project, or it can just be drawing, or it can be whatever you want. I'm going to do mine on my post-it board, and then I'll give you guys a copy of it. But this would be a good way to start that. So draw a circle for each part and draw them in a circle. So a bunch of little circles in a circle, if that makes sense. And label each one: family, friends, coworkers, clients, your healthcare team. Each one gets their own little circle. for that one. Friends, you might just want to do one circle for now, and we'll get into the other circles later. So your circle of support. All of these pieces are necessary. So now, all of us aren't going to have all of these pieces. So, for instance, my family is in the circle, even though I don't have super close relationships with them, but I would still put them in my circle, right? Some of you don't have connection with your family, or your family has passed, so that might not be in the circle, but know that your friends take up your family's roles, right? Some of you might not have, you might not think you have coworkers. Like if you work for yourself, but I have coworkers. I have my virtual assistant, and I have other women that I network with. I consider them team members, like the experts that come in, right? So just want to throw that out there. That is your circle of support. So go ahead, and while you're drawing that, I'm going to get into some tips and truths about relationships. So take what you, as always, you guys, take what you like and leave the rest of what I'm going to say next. These are things I believe to be true. Now, you don't have to, if you notice, I just want to say this. If you notice that I say something and you have an instant reaction of that's bullshit or no way or total resistance, that might mean there is some truth to it and you're resisting it. Like your ego doesn't want to hear it. So just saying, right? Okay, so truth number one, we must give and receive. We must have that give and receive flow in order to have our relationships work, to really be fulfilling. So that may look different with different people, different parts of your circle. And it may look different at different times of our life, right? So I'm going to give you a few examples of that. So, for instance, I have a friend, Julie. She is like one of my best friends. And she lives somewhere else. We don't talk every week. We usually talk once a month. And what happens is that oftentimes, she'll be going through something, and I'll be there for her, and I won't be going through something, right? So I don't really need her support, but I'm there supporting her. But then when I do have shit happen, I can go to her, right? I know I can go to her. And so there's a give and receive flow. It doesn't always happen in the same meeting, but overall, we give and receive support. The relationship is give and receive. It's equally mutual and fulfilling, right? So another example might be of a give and receive flow. Me and you, me and all of you guys, right? So I'm a support member, but the support is that I give you information, support, and tools, and you give me monetary, right? So it can be a monetary give and receive. So it can be time, it can be money, it can be, attention. So time and attention, right, with friends, and money with your healers or health care practitioners or your doctors, right? So those are two ways that we give and receive support. So I don't know if you've thought about it that way, but that's the give and receive, right? So I want to give you one other example here. So most of us, and it's going to go with this, many of us feel more comfortable giving or are more used to giving than receiving support. There's a lot of reasons for that. Roles growing up, right? Usually we got, maybe stuck with a narcissistic parent who it was really all about them, making them happy. Or we thought it was, and we learned to give, 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 and we really didn't learn to receive or express our wants and needs. Again, some of us for fear of losing love and attention, some of us for fear of like physical harm, like causing conflict. So that may be why some of us are more comfortable giving than receiving. right? And for some of us, it's also a control thing. So it's more comfortable to give than it is to receive, because then we're in control. We're not vulnerable. Now, you're going to hear me use the word vulnerable a lot this month. Vulnerable does not mean weak. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but vulnerable is important in relationships, vulnerability. Brené Brown talks a lot about that. You can actually look up, she's got some YouTube videos on vulnerability, Brené Brown. I will put that, I'll post something on the Facebook page, but she's a big piece of the three Ps. We'll talk more about her later. So in my example, I was much, much, much more likely to give than receive. And there was a few reasons. One, I had abuse in the past, and so I didn't want to be abused again, so verbally or physically or sexually. So I either didn't let people in at all, or I only let people get so close to me. And the really weird thing is that, you know, I'm going to share a little bit, I'm going to be a little vulnerable with you guys as usual, but it's really weird to me. I was thinking about it today, and it was like, wow, I was much less likely, like, men were the ones who really abused me the most, but I would more easily let them in than women. And I believe it's because, and this might resonate with quite a few of you, because my mom was quite an emotional vampire. She really kind of sucked me dry emotionally. And on the flip side, I didn't get time and attention from my dad. So what I think happened is that, you know, I learned to, like, hold women at arm's distance because I was afraid they were going to take from me. But I let men in even though they abused me, because I didn't get love and attention from my dad and was constantly seeking it. So isn't that interesting, right? And men that didn't give back, they just, right? I just gave in the relationship. So very interesting, and that may resonate with some of you. Felt necessary to share that. So truth number two, people who give us energy versus drain it. So we want to look at who gives us energy, who in our life that we currently have relationships with. Do we feel more energized when we're around, and who do we feel drained by when we hang out with them? Right? So the truth is that we want to spend, so this is where the truth comes, truth two, we want to spend more time with people who give us energy than drain it. I know what some of you are thinking. What about my family? What about my mom? What about fill in the blank? What about my boss? I can't get away from her. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the truth is, 80-20 rule, maybe even 90-10 rule. So when it comes to the person, we want to spend 80 to 90% of our time with people who lift us up and energize us, who support us. 10 to 20% of time with those people who drain us. You know who I'm talking about. It's like, and it's not like, oh my God, this person's having a bad day and I, you know, whoa, that was heavy. It's like consistently feel drained by this person or group of people. I actually had almost a whole group of friends that I let go because I realized I felt like shit every time. Not just fatigue, but emotionally, they were so mean to me, I felt like shit. That finally I'm like, I don't have to put up with this abuse anymore, right? So take note of that. That's truth number two. We'll talk a little bit about family, bosses, those kind of people later. Truth number three, one person can never meet all of our needs, ever. If we try to make one person it, like meet every single need that we have, we will suffocate that relationship and it will die. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. It may look, you know, the death may happen slowly or it may happen fast. So it's really important not to put all our eggs in one basket, if that's what the saying is. Kind of a weird saying, but I think that's what it is. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. So, yeah. Cool. Truth number, let's see, we got 1, 2, 3. Truth number 4. We teach people how to treat us. Some of you are not going to like that I said that. This isn't the first time I've said it. If someone in your life is not treating you with love, honor, or respect, it is because you have allowed that. And now they know it's okay to do that. You keep putting up with it. And it, of course, ties back to what we think we deserve, what we think we're worth, and how much we honor and love ourselves. Okay? So, this can be, you know, this is again a learned thing. Maybe in our past relationships, usually in our family growing up, we were not treated so good. Maybe we were criticized a lot. Maybe we were physically abused, sexually abused, whatever. Criticism is a form of verbal abuse, you guys. I was talking to one of you the other day, and you had never considered that before. Criticism, constantly criticizing, never good enough, you know what I'm saying, is verbal abuse. So this often happens in, you know, growing up, our relationship with our mom, our dad, our siblings, whatever that's like, we often pick up that whatever way they're treating us is quote-unquote normal, and that's what we think we deserve or what we're worth. That's, you know, if the people that we quote-unquote love and our family are treating us that way, then that must be what we deserve or what we're worth. So we continue then to allow it to happen to us. It's worn down our self-worth and our self-esteem. And then what happens is we attract other people into our life that match that. Right? So we attract. So another way to say we teach people how to treat us is we attract the people and the way that they're going to treat us dependent on how we feel about ourselves and what we think we deserve. So they're kind of like simultaneously hand in hand. So I'll give you an example. Cool. Okay, example. So I didn't get the love and attention I needed from my dad growing up. So therefore, I didn't think I was worthy of love and attention. Yet, like anyone, I still wanted it. So I went looking outside of course, my family to other men at a very young age and looked for love and attention from other men. Now, this is where some beliefs come together and create kind of an interesting, what do you want to call it, paradigm. So I had that, plus I had, right, this belief told to me from my mom that all men want are sex. So I went looking to other men for love and support and attention and gave them sex because then I thought they would give me love. And I would actually really allow people, give to people, overgive, overdo, and allow them to do things that were not honoring and respecting me because that's what I thought I deserved. And I thought that if I gave them what they wanted, they would love me at the same time. And, of course, that didn't happen, right? So there's a little piece of people-pleasing, thinking I would get love and attention. People-pleasing looks like overdoing or giving any, over whatever, right? Doing things for others that do not honor us, okay? And, of course, I got the same response, right? Just same as with my dad. So I had to shift the beliefs. You know, I had to shift that belief and really work on my self-love and my self-worth in order to draw in men you know, relationships into my life with people who really honored and respected me. And the more I honored and respected and loved myself, the more I saw I was attracting people that were, you know, giving me that same honor, love, and attention. Right? So that's a good belief, right? That was one I needed to work with, and I know some of you might need to work with, and we'll get to it later, but if you want to make a little note of it, I had a belief that I don't deserve time, love, and attention. I'm not worthy of time, love, and attention. All right. So let's see here. Next, truth. This kind of ties into the last one, truth number 5. We tend to create or draw relationships, people into our life based on what we believe we deserve or what we believe a relationship should look like. Again, this is conditioned by what we saw, heard, and what was modeled for us growing up. So, again, let me give you an example. I saw my mom get treated like shit from my dad, like verbal, physical abuse, and he cheated on her. So what do you think I drew into my life? The first 1, 2, 3, 4, I believe I had 5 relationships at least in my life where they cheated on me. One that physically abused me, and several that verbally abused me, and sexual abuse as well. So pretty interesting, right? So really, that's why it's so necessary for us to look at what did we see growing up? What did we hear about relationships? What was modeled? What did we see our mom and dad or other, you know, important key relationships? Like if you were, you know, spent a lot of time with your aunts and uncles, what did you see? Maybe your brother and was older than you, or sister was older than you, and they had relationships, and you saw that. So it's really important to look at what was modeled growing up so that you can see what beliefs you might be holding. We create what we believe. Cool. So truth number 6. Yeah, I think we're on number 6. So if we don't have supportive relationships in our life, like we're in relationships that are not supportive, we will often have a lot of emotional stress. Fear, anger, anxiety, sadness, and oftentimes we stuff that, here comes the addiction piece, with food, drinking, smoking, sex, affairs, shopping, fill in the blank. So when relationships in our life are not supportive, key relationships especially, right, our partner, our friends, we will have a lot of stress. And we will tend to try and stuff it. And eventually we'll even get sick. So I knew that an example of that is I knew that if I stayed in my marriage that I would not be able to heal the MS. Right? I knew it. Because there were things happening in that relationship that were not honoring me. One of them was that he forbid me to open my own business. And I knew in my heart I needed to open my own business. So I knew if I'd stayed, I'd continue to get sick and sicker and sicker. So as I started to leave, I took about 9 months preparing to leave, talk a little bit more about that later, that I started to get healthier and healthier. So, yeah, just an example. So another piece to this truth is that if we don't have supportive relationships, meaning we isolate ourselves and don't have relationships, at all. So we can either be in toxic relationships, and those can cause stress and breakdown, right? Illness, eventually, anxiety, depression, pain. But at the flip side, if we totally isolate ourselves and don't have relationships, key relationships in our life, we will get lonely, very sad, also depressed. And again, we will eat, drink, whatever, fill in the blank with your addiction, work, workaholics. You know who I'm talking about, all of you. You know your addictions by now, the thing you do to stuff your pain, your emotions, your stress, your loneliness. And then we also can end up sick. So we think it's like this protective mechanism to isolate so then nobody can hurt us. You know, if we don't allow ourselves to have relationships, then nobody can reject us or abandon us, hurt us, right? Save ourselves from the pain, but we're not. We are not. We are still going to have a breakdown in our health, mentally, physically, or emotionally from isolation. So just take note if, you know, as I'm going through these, just really take note of what relationships you have. We're actually going to move into a little exercise here. And I think I'm going to flip-flop them because this is going to help. This is kind of a better, like, flow. I'm actually going to bring in the tool circle exercise right now versus, and then we'll do the ideal relationship qualities values after that. So I want you to make three circles. So grab a piece of paper if you don't have one, and a pretty big piece of paper if you have one, or just 8 by 11 if you don't have a bigger one. And you're going to draw a smaller circle in the middle, and then another bigger circle outside of it, and then another bigger circle outside of that. So you have three circles that are a smaller one inside, a medium, and then a large. And you want to think about this as your circle of support. Now, the inner circle are the people that you can pretty much share anything with, right? You can share anything with. They love and accept you. Right, they don't criticize you. They're very supportive of you. Now, that can be a coach, right? It can be me. It can be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be another healthcare practitioner, your counselor. But that is your inner circle. The next circle are friends. Now, friends are people that you have fun with, you go do things with, you can share quite a bit of stuff with, but you can't really share everything. Like, you know, maybe 50% to 75%. Because, you know, there are just some topics, and that might even be true with your inner circle. There might be some topics that are off limit, but that's okay. It's maybe like 10%. So you've got your friend circle. And then outside of that, you've got your acquaintance circle. Those are people that, yeah, you spend a little bit of time with. They meet certain needs, but they're not a huge piece of your life. So a really great thing to do would be to list along the side or on a separate piece of paper, list all of your peeps, all the peeps you can think of, coworkers, clients, maybe not clients, but coworkers, friends. Clients may just go in the acquaintance circle. You know, they may not go in this, even though they do go in it, actually. They do. Acquaintance might be acquaintance friend. But you're going to list all the people, and then you're going to kind of draw a line, or you can actually draw them, write them into the circle. Sometimes it helps people to actually do the list first and then put them in the circle. Okay? So however you want to do it, whatever feels right to you, okay? So I believe that it's really important And if you don't want to do this right now, you can start it right now, finish it later, schedule some time, but I want you to finish it. I really want you guys to do this in the next couple of days by Sunday. So I believe that we need at least two to five people in our inner circle where we feel that we can really be our authentic selves and really share anything. You know, like different people might have different things. Like, okay, so my coach is in my inner circle, but I'm not going to go, you know, and hang out with her on a normal basis because she's my coach, right? Like, that's just not our relationship. But I still can share anything with her. Whereas my friend Julie, who's one of my inner circle peeps, I can share anything with her, yet it's a much different relationship, right? She's a friend, not my coach. And we don't, actually, there are some things we don't talk about, but that's okay. It's like one or two things, just because it's like whatever. She's vegan, so we don't talk about nutrition and food because she doesn't agree. We don't agree on that, so we just don't talk about it. But that's like a thing, right? So the other thing I want you to do is when you write your list and then put them in the pieces of the circle where they fit, I want you to put a little plus or minus next to them. I know this might sound really weird, you guys, but really, we're getting honest here about relationships. We are getting completely honest about our relationships. And nobody has to see this but you. And if you want to share it with people, you know, in the circle, in our support group, me, whatever, that's cool. So you're going to put a minus next to the people that kind of drain your energy consistently, and a plus next to people that are more energy giving, supportive, where you've got that give and receive flow. So I want you to put a plus or a minus next to each person, because we're getting honest here. We are getting completely honest, right? So this is where it's like awareness is key. We need to start here and release any guilt or shame. Or like my mom, you guys, is in my like she's between acquaintance and friend. Probably more acquaintance. I share very little with my mother. You know, I share with her, but very little for lots of reasons. I also don't spend very much time with her or talk to her very often because she is very energy draining, right? So there's that 90-10, like the 80-90 rule, like 80 to 90% of my time goes to people that energize me, that support me. And that includes you guys. Like seriously, you don't have to put up, I'm letting you know, like coworkers and clients, you don't have to put up with shit from people. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. I actually let a client go. God, that was almost a year ago. I let a client go because she was verbally abusive to me. She attacked me like 3 times. And finally, and I warned her, and finally I said, this is over. I refunded her unused money. And I said, this is done. I'm just not going to put up with this anymore. So I'm sharing that with you because I want you to know that you only deserve to be completely honored, loved, and respected in every relationship in your life, right? Take a breath. This is big stuff. Put on your big girl panties. The truth. Number, I think it's 7. Everybody in our life comes in for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. A reason, a season, or a lifetime. So me and one of you guys were talking about this today, that our soul, I believe our soul, our spirit, whatever you want to call it, has chosen our family, our friends, people that come into our life and even do shitty stuff to us. Our soul chose to have those people come into our lives and those experiences to have certain learning opportunities, experiences, and growth. No kidding. So, just putting that out there. I know some of you are going to say that is complete bullshit. Why would I have chosen to have a parent that did this to me, did that to me, was a total jerk? You did. I mean, I believe we did. And for some reason, that gives me a little peace, and it also gives me a little humor, right? It's like, wow, I chose this? Okay, what am I to learn from this? And it might take a lifetime. I mean, me repairing my relationship with my mom and what I'm learning here, oh, probably a lifetime, right? So, as my coach says, you want to say thank you. The perfect response is thank you. Not actually to them sometimes, usually. You don't actually go and say thank you for being such a jerk or being such an asshole or whatever. Thank you for criticizing the shit out of me, Dad, so that I could have these other awful experiences with men that I allowed to abuse me and all these other things, and then so that I can go and help other women who've been abused. I mean, I'm not going to go and say that to my dad, but the truth is, that is the truth. That's what I believe. So, there's another truth for you. Whew, lots of good stuff tonight. So the last thing I'm going to get into tonight, you guys, is the ideal relationship qualities and values. So one of the important things to remember is that what we want of other people, the qualities we want in other people, we must ourselves usually possess. So if you want someone to be a good listener and honest with you, then you're going to need to be honest and a good listener. Right? So one of the really interesting things I want to share with you guys is that I think I mentioned I attracted a lot of cheaters. And yes, it was because of the beliefs I had. And the truth was, cheating means not being honest, right? I wasn't being completely honest with myself. That I wasn't completely happy with these people. They weren't giving me what I needed, right? I wasn't always being honest with them. You know, dude, I cheated on one of my very significant relationships in my life in the past, right? So there were times when I wasn't honest. So what we want in others, we need to possess that quality. So I'm going to give you some examples here. So I wrote down, you guys are going to want to do this, right? So for a partner, like love partner, you're going to have that, a separate list. You're going to have a list for friend qualities. Friend and partner are going to have a lot of the same qualities, except probably for the sex piece, right? The real intimacy sex piece. And then you're going to have, and maybe some other things too. And maybe one for family. I want to say family and friends, you guys. They really need to have the same qualities. And then partner. And then clients. Clients and or coworkers may fall into a different category. Like, you know, I have an ideal client list, and that's a little bit different from my friend list, right? So my ideal client list, you know, most of those people have a quality of, they have an illness or an issue, blah, 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 that's the reason they come to see me as one of the qualities. So you want to have a list for a partner at least. Friend and family needs to go together. And if you have clients, you may want to create a client list as well. Coworker, boss, you might want to create one of those as well, right? Yeah, coworker, boss would be another category. And for each of those, you're going to actually list the qualities that you need that person to have. Doesn't matter if they have it now. You're not going to look at your partner now and say, what qualities do they have? Nope. You're going to go and put down your ideal relationship qualities for each of those family/membership categories. Oh, and coach or healer. Coach, doctor, healer is going to be a category for you guys too. Like a massage therapist to fall underneath that. Like whoever is on your health team, mental, physical, emotional health, personal growth team. They're going to have an ideal list of qualities as well. So, examples. So, for me, a partner. My partner needs to be honest, have a value. So, values, qualities, right? Also wants a monogamous relationship, is adventurous, meaning like loves to go do things and travel, loves the outdoors, loves to hike and camp, is into personal growth. Now, they don't have to be into it as much as me because that would probably drive both of us crazy. You know, my sweetie Josh is into personal growth, but he is nowhere near where I am because I do it for a living, right? I mean, this is my job and I love it, right? That's why I do it. But he still has some personal, he is into personal growth. He's open to it. So that's just kind of a mini list, right, of some things that I really need my partner to have. Now, you know, I also obviously have that is, you know, wants intimacy and sex, and I might have some details about that. So you're going to have a list for each of your team members, each of your circle members. It may be long, it may be short, it's up to you guys, right? So that is part of your self-work. So I'm going to see if there's any questions here, and then we're going to head down to self-work. And then, yes, we're going to head down to self-work. I'm just going to see if there's any other questions. Cool. So self-work this month, or for this part, I should say. Do-do-do. Let me head down there. Okay. Self-care or self-work, whatever you'd like to call it. One is journaling. So you're going to have some journaling self-work to do. The first one is to do the circle exercise that I mentioned. And that's where you're going to take your current list of peeps and plug them into the circle with a plus or a minus. We're getting awareness here, you guys. Part two is you're going to create your ideal relationship qualities list for each of your primary groups of peeps. Partner, family friend, coworker, boss, and health team. And then number three, I want you to journal on what did you see, hear, what was modeled growing up in relationships in your family, between your mom and dad, between you and your mom, you and your dad, you and your siblings, and any other key adults in your life. What did you see, hear, or what was modeled? What experiences did you have? So you're going to journal on that in relationship to relationships, and then you're going to write out beliefs that came out of those. Right? For example, like, because my dad didn't spend time with me, like, the time I wanted and needed, and he criticized me all the time, I had a belief that I don't deserve time, love, and attention. That it's okay to be criticized by people that love you, or that it's normal, right? That people are always going to abandon me because I, you know, felt abandoned by my father. The list goes on and on. So I have to please others to get love and attention. Right? I have to allow them to please others, whatever that looks like, whatever that means, say, do, allow bad things, things that aren't honoring you. I have to put other people's needs first to get time and attention. It's safe to give, but not receive. So there are tons of beliefs, you guys. I really, really, really want you to come up with some from this little journaling exercise. It's going to be pretty eye-opening. And I would love for you to share some of those beliefs on the Facebook wall by Sunday evening so that on Monday I can create a personalized practice with the most common ones. Okay? So share one to five of your, you know, your key core ones that you really think are impacting your life today. So you're going to kind of take that stuff from the past journaling, and you're going to be able to look at then your circle, the circle exercise, and see where those people are, how many are in each group, and the plus or the minus, and you're going to be able to see a connection there from what I've everything I've talked about and all the truths tonight. I'm even going to recommend that you go back and listen to this class because I gave you a lot of information in it. A lot of information. So let's definitely get love and support from each other on the Facebook group this month. Let's really use that. Let's see, any other parting things here? Oh, yeah, share with your support sister any of your stuff that comes up, circle exercise qualities, family relationship beliefs. Get on Skype, get on phone, whatever, you guys. Connect and support each other. If your support sister is not reaching out to you, reach out to somebody else in the group. Facebook message them and say, hey, can we chat? Like, be brave, be vulnerable, ask for support. Share your beliefs on the Facebook by Sunday night. And get your TMPs in daily, you guys, at bedtime and during the day. Really makes a difference. Remember, they are helping you to shift those subconscious beliefs in this month about relationships. Right? So it releases fear, connect with courage. It is really, really up to you to put you first. And self-care is huge in honoring and loving yourself. And the TMPs are a big part of that. Parting words, as always, progress, not perfection. Start with small baby changes. And don't expect to do things perfectly. You're going to fall off the wagon. It's normal. Accept, forgive, and get back on. Allow yourself to feel your emotions. A lot of emotions are going to come up this month around relationships. Name the emotion. Journal on it. Use the TMP as a container to allow yourself to feel and release it versus stuffing it with food, alcohol, working too much, fill in the blank, right? So I love you guys, and I'm here always sending you love, courage, and support. Questions, would love to hear them on Facebook in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, be vulnerable. You know, we're in month 8. It is time to be vulnerable with each other if you haven't been, and share and ask for support. So have a fantastic evening. Love you. Good night.